This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We welcome Jim in. We'll talk to him in just a couple minutes here because we want to hear from the big guy, Ben Roethlisberger. A lot of you went to bed maybe just after the game was over. It was a range of emotion, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Ben Roethlisberger, full post game. It's about 6 minutes or so. We hear it right here.
Ben, can you just go through the process of how you were able to get off the COVID list to, you know, get eligible to play?
Yeah, I mean, just it's a crazy process. Testing every day, lots of vitamins and minerals. You know, just got to give a lot of credit to John Norwig, the rest of the staff, Elena for the testing. You're literally just taking tests and then hoping every day that it's negative. So that's kind of what it is. It's a very interesting process.
What's this last week been like for you?
Interesting. Different. I think the MVP of the week is my wife, because it was not easy for all the kids to be home, me to be home, a grumpy husband that probably wants to be at football. And, you know, I just had to be the backup substitute teacher. And so we just, you know, it was a lot of interesting times, me wearing a mask at home and trying to help with homework and still trying to spend time on meetings and looking at the iPad and going over plays. And it's tough not getting practice perspectives, you know, watching practice from behind. I know I don't always participate in practice, but at least you're there and you can and see it firsthand. It's different watching it on film at night, and so it's definitely a different process, but you know, we got through it.
I'm guessing one of the more wildest fourth quarters you've been a part of, all those points. Your thoughts on how that played out, and when you took the lead, did you think you were kind of clear?
Yeah, what a crazy game. You know, it's kind of being two halves. I mean, I think we had three series in the first half, 3-3. No punts. We kept the punter on the sideline, which is always good for an offense. And then we block a punt, we score, defense gets a turnover, and you know, just a bizarre sequence of events. And obviously, we'd like to finish the game off. You know, we'd like to stay on the field, score a touchdown. You know, there was they called a pass interference or a holding, and then they picked it up for uncatchable, which, you know, referee's discretion, I guess, and we settled for three. But that's disappointing, because offensively we'd like to use the clock and finish that game off.
Hey, Ben, you played a lot of teams in the NFL in your career. What stood out to you about this Brandon Staley coached team?
The what coach team?
The Brandon Staley.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're a really good football team. Starts with their quarterback. He's a great young football player. Ran all over the place today, made throws, and what a special talent. He's the next generation. He's a good football player.
Then I think Mike said that you started to feel bad last Saturday. That's what prompted you to get tested. When did you start to feel better during the week and have an idea that you might be able to go on Sunday?
Yeah, it was Saturday night. I remember, you know, I got a lot of credit for self-reporting. I really just called our trainer, John Norwig, and told him I wasn't feeling well, and that I didn't think I should head into the team hotel because I didn't want to get anyone sick. I just assumed I had a little bug. And he said, Ben, we've got to test you, because if you have symptoms, any kind of symptoms, and you'll get tested, you know, trouble or whatever happens. And so I drove down and got tested and still thought it was going to be nothing. Found out when I got home that I was positive for COVID. And that night was the worst night, fever, not feeling well. By Sunday, I started to feel better. And then by Monday, I knew that I felt fine physically, but just because you feel fine doesn't mean that you're going to be able to pass a test. So, like I said, credit to the doctors and staff for helping get me out here.
You Did you do anything to kind of stay active while you're at home, throw any walk on a trail?
I threw on Friday with my trainer just after we had one negative test, so I kind of was hoping that there was a chance. So we threw with him outside, and then I did like a – I forget what they call it, like a three-day ramp up where you kind of do some cardio at home. So I just – in my home gym, just did some cardio the last kind of 3 days.
Steelers haven't taken a loss in some time until tonight. Now that where we are in the season, we're getting on. How critical, how crucial are these losses?
Yeah, it's a big loss. You never like to lose football games. You like to go on runs like we had, but it's a good football team. We came to their place, and things happen. There's still some time left, and you know, we're just going to have to get it figured out and play our best football down the home stretch, because that's what it's all about. It's when can you play your best football, and we've got a few games left, and we got a lot of division games coming up.
Although Najee didn't have a signature game tonight, what does he mean to your offense, Najee Harris?
Yeah, he does a lot more than what the stats say. You know, you're looking at 100-yard games and touchdowns and this and that, but what he does in protection, he caught some balls out of the backfield, continued drives for us, and that's what's special about him is he brings a presence and a threat, and so I'm glad to see him back on the field there and doing okay.
Ben, it looked like a couple of times you might have been frustrated down inside the five.
Yeah.
When you guys didn't get in there. At yourself, at the play calling, at just things in general?
No, just frustrated when you can't score. I mean, if you're as an offense and as the quarterback, the leader of the offense, when you can't score, you have to take it on yourself. There's no one specific reason other than we didn't score. We didn't put 7 points on the board, and that's frustrating as a quarterback.
And you mentioned wanting to run the clock and, you know, finish that game there earlier. Mm-hmm. When you guys put the ball back at the 34, was there any thought given to running the ball?
Well, the first play was an RPO, but they packed the box, so we had to throw it, and I actually went to throw it to Chase, and I think KB was in the game. We kind of had a little – he bobbled, hit me a little bit, and I didn't – guy was driving on through behind him, which wasn't a big deal. Second down play, we completed James, picked up 8 or 9 yards, and then the last play, we thought they anticipated us running the ball, so we tried to max it up and take a shot down the field, and like I said, that's the play that, you know, I felt like Deontay – got behind somebody and got tackled.
Two more.
It seems like the AFC is like so like competitive this year. Why do you think it's so like so open?
I don't know. It is though, isn't it? And that's why you have hope, regardless of your record. There's a few games left, and I feel like the AFC is still kind of anybody's game.
Final one.
These next two are against Cincinnati, Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Is that going to be a defining stretch? Maybe.
That's a big part. I mean, that's why it's important for us to get back on track. We got to get home late tonight. We'll get ourselves ready to go. Divisional opponent on the road. They're a good football team. And so this is going to be a big one for us. And I would like to say happy birthday to my son.
There we go. Ben Roethlisberger, happy birthday to the little Ben running around. Text us, Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Jim, you know he's coming back next year, right?
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about that. You know what? I don't know, though. I really don't. And, you know, I'm going to side. I know Ed was the guy who was on this before everything uh-huh. started. It really depends on how much of a beating he takes between now and over the next six games.
He had all the throws last night. It's just, man, I'm really stuck in a purgatory, just like the football team,
well,
I think.
See? I mean, there you go.
And he's better than what you got.
That can't be argued. I think
but you look at the other side at quarterback, and you look across the scrimmage line at what they had, but you have to draft high to be able to do that.
I think the key here, too, is, you know, you said he had all the throws. In the fourth quarter, he definitely had all the throws. Some of those throws to Deontay Johnson on that Deontay Johnson drive, basically, were right where they needed to be, where only he could play. But then he doesn't have it in the first, you know, the underthrow to Claypool, for example. And we get it in little short bursts now, right? Like I always reference the third quarter against the Colts last year, the fourth quarter last night. We get it here and there for three or four drives at a time. We get old Ben, the old cowboy saunters into town and, you know, pulls out the six shooter.
See, to me, that's the, and you guys were just talking about this. It's the old cowboy sauntering. He can't run. and we saw with the other quarterback. Like, when everybody thinks, well, we need a mobile quarterback, everybody thinks you got to have Lamar Jackson. No, you don't.
It's the guy that moves in the pocket.
And Herbert was Herbert, and actually, you know what? The college quarterback in this town, I mean, he's not as good as Justin Herbert, okay? But still, there are some similarities there. And just a guy that can move a little bit, and yeah. That yardage that was available that Herbert, you talk about taking what the defense gives you. Man, he did
Herbert
a great job of that.
Herbert takes 4 and 6 yards better than anyone. And
last night it was 10 and 12.
Yeah. Right. And again, I get the defense was terrible. And the guys that were out there. Jim said to me when he came in this morning, he goes, I'm at Steelers every day. I got home and I landed on a plane from Boston. I was at Keene, New Hampshire. He goes, I have to tell you, I didn't know who number 50 was.
I didn't
know. They kept showing him. Like, I've seen it. Well, doesn't look like Larry Foote.
I was like, wait a second.
Wish he was Larry Foote.
Like, did Taco change his number? What's going on? Who is this guy?
No, I knew Joseph because, in fact, he sticks out because he took Ingram's number as soon as it became available.
Right.
But, you know, and I hadn't noticed about Scott that they'd activated him. And then Archibong,
But it's a lot of blah. Like, I see Ben, and Ben has a great performance. But I say, is that the best thing for this organization in totality?
No, Ben, if the Steelers had an offensive line that was worth a lick, like what Brady has,
right.
And I know Brady has a lot to do with it too, but he's got a really good offensive line in front of him where he doesn't have to run because he has the protection to make reads and make throws, and Ben doesn't have that luxury.
To answer the question you just asked, Colin, is it the best thing? If all you're trying to do is win 8 or 9 games and sneak into the playoffs – by all means, bring Ben back, and maybe you'll do that. Maybe much like this year, you'll be a mediocre 500 team that somehow sneaks into a 7th wild card spot. But if the more important thing, and it is to me as a fan of this team since I was old enough to watch football, the more important thing to you is building this organization up so that it succeeds long term and you're not always scratching and fighting and clawing for 8 or 9 wins, then at a certain point, you do have to deal with the growing pains of saying, Ben, thank you. We realize you may even be the best option of what we have in-house right now, but we've got to move forward.
And you might have a 4-win season because of it. And it's just what comes with the territory.
But then you have to trust the front office, and it'll be a new regime at that point whenever Kevin Colbert decides to step down.
The crazy part is going to be this. The crazy part is going to be this. If Ben gets through the season healthy, okay, and he looks okay, mm-hmm. not every night like he looks last night, but looks pretty good, and Aaron Rodgers becomes available and says, I want to come to Pittsburgh.
I mean, if he wants to come here, you make it happen.
You have a high-end quarterback like that says, I want to come there.
What if Deshaun Watson says he wants to come here? I don't touch it with a 10-foot pole either, but there's some people that have mentioned it.
And it's unfair to criticize, and I know the special teams had a lot to do with some of the points, but nonetheless, when the offense, which played well at the end of the game, When that touchdown happened, I'm thinking, they got 2 minutes here to come back. And then that was a complete implosion.
Deontay Johnson's making some money. They're going to have to pay him. I know he's had problems dropping the football. I know he's had problems catching the football at times. He's turning into a guy that a lot of people in the end – he's turning into a guy that, especially in crunch time, it feels like, and I know what happened with dropping the football not long ago, but he's reliable and he makes people miss – and he makes a lot more plays than he doesn't make.
Yeah, the important part with the fumble in overtime against Detroit was that it's the exception rather than the rule with him now, as far as ball security goes.
He's really good.
If he gets a deal, Chase Claypool isn't getting a deal.
Right. Well, and Juju's playing his last game.
They can always draft a receiver in the second round. You know that.
Make it work, right. I do have a question about the draft they just had and if they made a mistake. We get into all that coming up. And then one guy is just absolutely getting blistered. But is it totally on point? We get into that before the hour's out as well.
Blur.
All right. I got a question about a couple different players coming up, and one on offense, one on defense, and a draft. But, Jim, travel. You went to your hometown of Keene, New Hampshire.
I did. And I knew you were going to turn that around. I sent you guys the photo
of the
Bosa homestead on Page Street.
Oh, yeah. When you send us stuff like that, it's going on the internet. Twitter in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. That's not the important part, though. The important part is traveling with Jim, you definitely had a mishap. Why don't you tell us?
Lost my parking ticket.
Oh, good job.
Parking at the airport.
Did they charge you maximum? They tell you they charge you maximum.
Okay, wait. Okay, what would maximum be?
I don't know.
Where'd you park? Which level?
I parked long term, so it was $16 a day.
So
and so it was $48. It was $48.
That's what they charged you?
For 3 days, yeah.
Did they only know you were gone 3 days? Did you show them your ticket?
That's the thing. I mean, because I was on the phone with a guy. I said, well, I said, theoretically, he goes, oh, no problem. He goes, we inventory. I said, well, I got there Friday morning. He goes, yeah, we invent. I don't know what he was saying, but, and it took a little while.
How do you lose your parking ticket?
I don't know. Mm. It could be, it's probably at the Colony House Bed and Breakfast on West Street someplace. I don't know. It's one of those things. And I looked everywhere where I would put something if I wanted to make sure I didn't lose it. And it was in none of those places.
You lost your parking ticket. When did you realize this? When you were still in New Hampshire or when you made it back to Pittsburgh?
When I went looking for it once I got back here.
Okay, so by the shuttle, the tram thing when you were going between the terminal and stuff?
No, it was after that.
Okay. All the way out into the parking lot?
Uh-huh.
No, because I figured I'd get stuff I needed. And once I got, you know where the line snakes back for the TSA stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have those little couches?
Yes.
It was right there. And so if anybody walked by yesterday at about 4:30.
And you're rifling through your bag?
And sees me. That was me.
Okay.
If anybody works for TSA and has access to that video.
Did you swear loudly or just you had a mask on and you're doing all that?
I wasn't swearing or anything.
Sure. Who
did
you call then? What did you do?
There's a number. Like you can go to prepay your parking. So in other words,
There's a machine right there before you walk down that big long hallway with the moving sidewalk.
Yeah, it's just like the parking garages downtown, you know. And so there's a number. Parking problem, call this number.
1-800
call 1-800
parking. Yes, 1-800 parking. Right. So you called that number and
the guy was very nice.
Where was he answering from, do you think?
I have no idea.
It was
in Pittsburgh, though. I could tell he's from Pittsburgh.
Okay. And then did he know who you were?
No, what? I didn't. Hey, yeah, it's Jim Collins.
You dropped your name?
You know, you may listen to me on the fan. Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm a major personality.
Did he give you a code to type in, or how did you get out?
No, I just went to the cash. He said, no problem. He goes, just go to the cash lane and we'll pull up. And, you know, it wasn't very busy.
Uh-huh. Tell the human that I didn't have my thing.
Yeah, it took him a little while. I said, I'm that guy. I said, I lost my parking ticket. I said, I've been here since Friday. I parked long term, so I'm not going to try to say, you know, I was like an extended or whatever else. And so, you know, I fessed up.
Well, I'm trying to get out of you a ruse that people can use because I'm not happy I had to pay $132 or whatever a couple
right.
weeks ago.
I heard you talking about
that. And I had my ticket.
And I envisioned that. But, I mean, theoretically, I could have had my car there since April.
Right.
In the short term.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I'm glad you made it home all in one piece.
$3,300.
Good for you. I'm glad you made it in one piece.
I did.
Did the Steelers tactically do something wrong maybe in the spring? Let's talk about this way, way back. Dive into that. And one player is just getting destroyed, and we think it's rightly so. That's all straight ahead.
Receivers left, two to the right. Harris in the backfield to Roethlisberger's left. Now Harris motions out to the right. Roethlisberger has the snap. Rolling right, throws back across the middle. It's caught right at the two. That's it. Short of the goal line. The Chargers defense turn the Steelers away. Joe Gaziano makes the tackle on that short pass inside, and the Steelers get nothing.
They got nothing right there, right? And that was early in the second quarter. Steelers are down 7-3. They decide to go for it, and it was emblematic of what's happened all year with the Steelers on fourth down. It was typical. They go for it on fourth down. I think they have four. I read somewhere on the internet, four straight fourth down completions. And they've
short of the sticks, and they've not converted.
Yeah. And the whole league has nine.
That's insane.
That's just incredible. And they have four straight fourth down completions that did not convert the line to make. That is just wild to me. But it gets into the draft, right? So I know you're playing from behind, and I understand how this game went. And you look at Najee Harris and what he has done. He had 12 carries for 39 yards. But that would make right there that series. That would be in the middle of, and he did get a carry there on second down. He went over left guard for 2 yards for no gain at all as they started first and goal from the five there as they were down 7-3 very early in the second quarter. But out of 12 plays, if you take last game, this first drive inside on goal, and then the next drive, he carried the football one time in 12 plays from the five with goal-to-go situations. I think I have that correct.
Yes, you're right.
In one time.
I mistakenly said 0 for 12 earlier, but it's one for 12.
One carry.
Yeah, one target as well, I think, on the fourth quarter series.
All that being said, why in the world did you draft him if this is your use? I can kind of understand if you get behind him only getting 12 carries, it probably should be more, and it should be more targets. Did they err in drafting Najee Harris? I think this conversation is a real one. Did they err in drafting him if this was going to be the use of him? Because now you can look at it backward in retrospect and say, if you knew that was how you were going to employ the guy, was it a waste of a draft pick?
See, I loved the pick at the time, and I still love the pick because I love how talented Najee Harris is, but it's a bit of a chicken or the egg discussion because you're asking, we're asking ourselves, well, is it a good pick if you don't have the offensive line? Well, no, because you don't have the offense. Well, how do you get the offensive line? You got to draft some offensive line, but then if you draft the offensive line, you don't draft Najee Harris, right? And you're caught in this vicious circle. The problem I have with it, Colin, is I understand the offensive line isn't very good. I understand they were injured on top of it last night. But you're telling me in the last three goal-to-go series, all from the five-yard line and in, that you can only come up with one play? One play ended up being 2 out of 13 because they got that gift of a pass interference,
right?
To go for it again. That two plays out of 13 goal to go inside the five, you think to turn around and hand it off to your first round running back? That's on Matt Canada.
Well, and that's also the $4.5 million fullback. Where's he? And where's your $4.5 million tackle eligible for a jumbo package?
But I do think it's a really good question. Like, we all like Najee Harris and what he can do.
And he changes a game, and he's your most dynamic player, and yes, he's your best offensive weapon. But if you are going to have him on your team, you are going to have to build around him, not try to piecemeal him in.
Right.
And they're just not doing that. Or run the risk of overusing him as opposed to underusing him.
I'd rather see you turn around and hand it off to Najee four times and he gets met at the line four times, and then I can say, you know what? Yeah, it is this offensive line. It stinks. Look at it. It couldn't create a yard of space for Najee Harris. Then run a jet sweep here, and then a rollout pitch back to the tight end here, and then a fade into the corner here, and then, no, turn around and hand it off to the
guy.
Put
him in the slot and throw it to him. You know, do something. He's just not touching the football enough, and it becomes a wasted draft pick. I mean,
but if you look at then the extension of that is, who should they have picked instead?
A lineman.
Okay, which one? And then you get into that whole thing and
of reaching. Yeah,
and then it's
a center that's better than the one they have now that they took in a bit
right,
of a later round.
The one
or trade back.
And I remember this came up because Green Bay took the center from Ohio State later on, but that was a Freiermuth or that was more of Freiermuth or situation as opposed to Harris. I just think if there had been the proper tackle that was available, and then there was the Oklahoma State guy got hurt, right? He hadn't even played, but he's a right tackle anyway. That's the only argument you could have made. And then you can go save, well, if Ben didn't come back, and then you would have had $20 million that maybe you could have spent on a free agent lineman.
Right.
They didn't know DeCastro's career was over when they drafted him. But they replaced him with Trey Turner, which may end up being a
wash. Well, I'm watching Creed Humphrey play. Like,
yeah, and that's another one.
Like, that's happening yeah, in
I think,
Kansas
but I,
City.
I do think it was a valuable question at the time. Like, okay, we're here at, 22 in the first round? Are we going to take this guy that we know is going to struggle for a year, not struggle, but not do as well because he's going to be behind an inferior offensive line, and risk passing up on that talent? Or do we reach for an offensive lineman? Or do we now trade back? Do we trade back to 30, 32? And do we say, hey, maybe there's still a running back available there? Or maybe we get an alignment that fits more in line with that pick.
Like, this is a classic. It can be both. I love Najee Harris.
Yes.
I love what he brings. But it's like you have a Ferrari in a snowstorm. Like, what is the use if it's not going to function the way that best suits everything?
Right.
It almost feels like a mini luxury pick.
And they're getting too cute and trying to work around the offensive line's shortcomings, especially down near the goal line. Down near the goal line, again, I would rather see you turn around and hand it off to Najee four times and have him met at the line for no gain than to watch you do all this ridiculousness where you're throwing the ball up into the corner of the end zone. Or, you know, I like the variations on things that Matt Canada brings into the playbook. I like the tweaks, the little variables that he brings in there with all the jet sweeps. It's great. But when you get down to the goal line and you've got a first-round workhorse, bell cow, whatever you want to call him, running back, you turn around, and as we saw when they got that new first down last night on the interference call, You put a fullback in front of him. You stack the line, heavy package. You turn around, hand it off to him, and let him get it over the line.
Yeah, I just it felt like there were times later on in the game, midway through the third quarter especially, where Ben Roethlisberger played the old, get out of my way. I'm the offensive coordinator right now. We're doing what I want to do, especially between the 20s. Like, that's where Ben is like, let's go.
And I'm okay with that. You know, if Ben is cooking on a particular day and is starting to find a rhythm, fine, let him make some calls. But I don't need – we talked about this last week. The RPO down near the goal line, I don't need any P's or O's. Just give me the R down near the goal line. You got Najee Harris, turn around and hand it off to
like,
him.
This defense stunk. It was terrible. But the defense played with personnel that – you had to look it up to see who the guys were.
Right.
I firmly believe if they would have had two of those three guys, they would have won that football game last night, especially with Minkah Fitzpatrick. As much as he has been maligned this season, I think they win the football game with Minkah Fitzpatrick.
I think maybe even if they had just T.J. Watt,
yeah.
Even if the other two guys had been out.
It's no coincidence they have not won a game this year in which T.J. Watt doesn't start and or finish.
And you guys were talking earlier about the most, you know, the best guy is T.J. Watt. The second best guy is Cam Hayward. Third best guy is Minkah. And then Hayden, that's debatable. But they're playing without two linemen. And I've forgot that Stephon Tuitt even exists, quite honestly.
Yeah.
And then Alu-Alu, we talked about it at the time when he got hurt, how underrated. In fact, I think we've talked about that before when you were ranking the most indispensable guys and how Alu-Alu is very important. And we're seeing that now.
One guy they are playing with, though, that is getting a lot of heat should be. And we'll tell you who that is coming up next right here on The Fan.
Here's the snap from Long. This time, pressure, and they block the punt. Inside the five, rolling towards the far sideline, and it's out of bounds at about the three. Roethlisberger with the snap. Hand off Harris. He goes high, and he's into the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. He's back to pass, looks, fires, pass batted high in the air, and it's going to be intercepted. It's picked off by the Steelers. Down at the 10-yard line. Roethlisberger takes the snap, looks left, now comes back right, throws that side cut by Freiermuth into the end zone. Touchdown, Pittsburgh. Pat Freiermuth with the touchdown catch. And with 4:23 to go, the Steelers are an extra point away from tying the game. Boswell, it's good. Inside the right upright. And the Steelers, for the first time since they led 3-0, have taken the lead. He's back to pass, looking left, throws left, got a man wide open, it's caught. Down the sideline, 30, 25, 20, inside the 10, end zone, touchdown Chargers. Touchdown Chargers, it is Mike Williams. And the Chargers have gone back in front. You've got to be kidding. Final snap of the game, drops to a knee, and the L.A. Chargers in a classic here on Sunday night. Beat the Pittsburgh Steelers by a score of 41-37.
Oh, they did. Westwood One, thank you to them for all of that right there. What a back and forth ping pong match of a game, and you might just be waking up right now after absorbing all that. And in the middle of all that, right, there was one other play that we neglected to squeeze in there, and it seemed kind of, not to say innocuous at the time, because it pushed the lead from 7-3 to 14-3, and it was on a 98-yard drive. It culminated it. It was this.
Herbert in the gun, second down and goal from the 10-yard line. Herbert walks up to the line of scrimmage, now falls back into the gun. Play clock is at 4. Herbert wants the shotgun snap, lifts that right leg. Play clock at 1. Herbert's got the snap, back to pass, steps up in the pocket, throws short, cut by Eckler, racing to the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers. A 10-yard touchdown throw, Justin Herbert to Austin Eckler, and the Chargers have extended the lead. 3:42 to go here in the first half. The Chargers lead by 10 with the extra point upcoming.
It was the first of two Eckler touchdowns in which Devin Bush made absolutely no effort on. And when I say no effort, I mean no effort. This is bad. His dad might call the radio station today. It was so bad. Look, there are times in which the fan base and people who follow a team, they yell and they scream about something and they really don't know what they're talking about. And it's amplified by, I heard this guy yelling and screaming, so I'm going to jump on board and be a bandwagoner and I'm going to yell and scream because I heard somebody on the radio yelling and screaming, and it becomes fashionable to do that. And it just sort of creates and gains a life of its own. That's not the case with this. He is not just bad for being Devin Bush and where he was drafted as number 10 overall. He's a bad NFL inside linebacker right now. He's just not good. Schobert then was on the field. Spillane was on the field to drive thereafter. He did not see the field for about 8 or 12 plays, somewhere between 8 or 12 plays. He was awful. I don't know what the answer is, but the answer moving forward at some point has to be this guy getting benched. He hurts them.
The one that got me even more was the first one, which was the Eckler, I think, 4 or 5 yard touchdown.
That was the second one. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no. But that was the one that got me, and it was early in the game, and immediately, you know, I think we all probably tweeted out the same video, right? It's Collinsworth's breaking down the double block on Hayward, and I think it was Jared Cook pulled around from the outside in, came up through the hole, and met Bush, and then Bush didn't do anything.
It was inexcusable because he had zero awareness and even less fight.
He didn't realize Eckler was running right by him.
He didn't know where the play was. Then when he understood where it was, he didn't fight to get off his block. He just stood there. Look, we've hammered Devin Bush, and sometimes maybe it's overkill, and you're not trying to find a scapegoat. But if you're going to have any chance in that football game, if you're going to have any chance against the Lions to not tie them, you need good play from that inside linebacker position, and it's not like he's played up to where Devin Bush, again, is supposed to play. He's been bad comparative to the mean inside linebacker in the league.
It's just like I said on Friday. It's one thing to criticize Devin Bush for not making the big splash plays. Now we're at the point where he's not making the regular everyday plays. PFF's initial grade on his performance last night, the lowest to this point of his career. So that tells you exactly.
That's a pretty low bar to begin with.
Thank you, Jim. The guys, you know, it would be different if we saw it in fits and starts. No, it's continually downhill now.
Jim, you ready for Buddy Johnson era to start?
No.
But what do you do?
And it's called
into
even
more. Spillane is what it is, and that's what you have to do. But it's like we were talking about this even before Sunday night. We were talking about this last week. There was a time when we're wondering, well, why is Spillane playing? Why is Bush not playing? And then when Butler said that there are some things that Spillane does better.
Play football is one of them.
Yeah, right now. I can't argue with that. And you're right about that. It was like he was a conscientious objector on that play, just standing there.
Well, and it gets called into contrast, too, when you see Schobert make a big play later, right? I mean, we've seen Spillane make big plays in the past. We've seen Schobert make a big play here in this regard. And I think I recall him having a big tackle earlier in a game where they were trying to hold on to a lead. And Bush isn't doing any of that. He's not doing any of it. Not even the big splash plays. Like I said, he's not even making the basic plays.
And if people want to say that, you know, his knee's not fully, well, then don't play him.
Right.
There needs to be something seismic happen this week. Either a benching in totality, or we find out that the guy's hurt, and then you go ahead and you put him on IR. It can't be rolling into Sunday in the Bengals game, and it's just, okay, the game starts, and Devin Bush is out there to start at inside linebacker for the Steelers. That, to me, is the coaching staff. Keith Butler, Mike Tomlin, who allegedly calls the defense, they're derelict of duty if they've identified a problem, or if they haven't identified it, that's even worse. But at this point, they've had to have identified it as Devin Bush being problematic to the cause, right?
Yes.
Because everyone else has. Even the people who, even if you don't know the play calls, like his dad says we should know in order to criticize him. But if they've identified the problem much as we have and they don't make a change, then it becomes a problem that's not the player problem, it's the coach problem. And if something doesn't change for Cincinnati, it's a big coach problem. He's absolutely horrible. He's horrible. He's not good enough to start. He's now good enough maybe to be in the rotation, but he's not good enough to start. And I'll say it right now, and I don't care who it makes mad. He's showing no heart. He's showing no fight. He's showing no grit, and he's showing no want.
Okay.
He is a quitter. And that's what Devin Bush shows me on the football field. He quits when things go down, when things aren't looking good. Cam Hayward is a guy. If I'm Cam Hayward, I look at Devin Bush, and I don't even look at us as contemporaries. I'm thoroughly upset that I'm on the same unit as Devin Bush because he's not giving one millionth of the same effort.
Let's spin it from the short term into the long term very quickly, because we had this conversation about other parts of this team. We've talked about it with the quarterback at length today. If Devin Bush is this, if this is what he is, first of all, you're not picking up the fifth-year option this offseason. I mean, you talk about sitting him. Yeah, that's in the immediate short term. That's
fault.
What you do.
It's that they overdrafted him.
Yeah.
It's he. Well, again, what was he going to do when they called on the phone?
Say no.
Yeah. Right. There's a big problem with scouting and development.
But what you're talking about, in your opinion, that if he's not trying or if he's a quitter, as you just said it, that is his problem.
And
I'm not going to go quite that far, but man, it was just disappointing to see him stand there and not try to fight off a block. Isn't that just basic football?
Yes.
I don't know.
There's a lot of guys who seemingly have less athletic ability that try a lot harder than Devin Bush. And I'm not making Devin Bush out to be someone with, you know, that's one of the greats athletic ability-wise. But watch Sam Mills, that was smaller than him, you know, fight off guys bigger than him and make a career, a living, forge greatness out of fighting off blocks much the same way. And Devin Bush gets stock blocked by an offensive lineman and just stands there and acts like he's doing a waltz with them.
Not even an offensive lineman on that first Eckler touchdown, a tight end pulling up through the hole.
It's tough to
watch. One of the guys that he was drafted to combat against.
And I don't need to know what play was called to know. No. I don't need to know his assignment.
There's no play call for stand there and get blocked and not try to get off and at least make an arm tackle.
Right. Oh, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.